this soldier would have rather listened to another soldier. But I've enlisted in the service till I die.
Yes, praise the Lord.
I personally had enough of the other life to last me a lifetime.
Yes.
And I don't want any more of it. And I don't want you to have any more of it.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, we don't have to have any more of it. We don't have to have any of that disruptive, despicable, ugly sin in our life anymore. Brother Randy called a song in our service this morning that sin can never enter there. And that's my anticipation of heaven, that there'll be no sin there. And I can have a life today without sin. Sin belongs somewhere else. It belongs on the outside of the kingdom of God. There isn't any place inside the kingdom for sin. Sin is ugly. Sin is hurtful. Sin is despicable. There's no peace. There's no rest in sin. Thankful by the grace of God that we can gain the victory over sin. And we can sing the songs of victory. And we can know in our heart what it means to be delivered from sin and disobedience to God. This little thought this morning, I want to challenge you and ask you where you live. Just where do you live this morning? Where is your house? What is your house made of? What is your habitation of your soul? What kind of dwelling place do you have? Are you taking advantage of that secret place that God has made that you might live there all the rest of your days? And then when your days are through, just fly away to a place that isn't inhibited by the flesh anymore and enjoy that blessed presence that you experience in that place that you're dwelling in now. What you have now, is that what you want forever? Examine your heart. Examine the dwelling place of your soul.
Yes.
Not your outward man. It's perishing.
Yes.
We have many requests for aches and pains, and God in His mercy helps us out and takes care of us.
Yes.
But that place of your soul, where it is dwelling this morning, do you want that forever? Are you satisfied in your heart that this is my eternal blessing? What I have today, I want forever. You know, God has made that provision through His power, through His strength, through His blessings, that we can have that spiritual existence now that is satisfying throughout eternity. That life starts since Jesus came. It doesn't start when you die. It starts before you die, or you won't have it after you die. That's the word of Christ, and the life that He brought is that you can have that dwelling now in its fullness, in its completeness, total, without any sin mixed in with it to defile it. Sin can never enter there, and sin can never enter the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. They don't exist together. And so if we have sin in our life, then we can't have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Thank God for His mercy, because we all make mistakes and we all have shortcomings. And by the mercy of God, He works with us and deals with us and gives us those things that we need.
Go ahead.
in this place that God has made for His children to live in and to dwell in. There is every provision made. There is everything in place. The way that God would have it, that we might experience the blessings and the power and the strength and the might of God. We're thankful that God has made this place. When we think of the power of sin, when we think of all of the hurt and all of the pain, the misery that the world is in because of sin, and to know and understand that God has provided a place that we can live where these things will not touch our soul, they'll not touch our heart, they'll not touch our life. We can have complete victory in Jesus Christ. In the 91st Psalm, familiar passage of Scripture, he said in the first verse, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, shall have that confidence of the very shadow of God, the presence of God, that place that is sheltered, that place of protection, where no evil, where no power of Satan is able to tread. There is that place of protection that is hidden from the world. It's hidden from those who are elevated in their own estimation, their own ideas, and won't humble themselves as a child, won't come the way of the cross and the way of Christ. They're not able to find that place where sin cannot touch their life. They're too elevated in their own thinking, in their own ability, in their own rationale. But in this place, in the shadow of the Almighty, there is a place that sin cannot enter, where it cannot touch. And God said, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be as thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only thine eyes shall see. Thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." Now this is the thought this morning. Where are you living? Is this really your habitation? Is this really where you dwell? Are you dwelling in this place? Do you experience the things that are there under the shadow of God? Do you experience the blessings that He has put in place by His power and His strength? "There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways."
Thank God.
The 14th verse says, "Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name."
Yes.
The revelation of God and His beauty is made known in this secret place, in this comfort place, in this place of peace and rest. And I can dwell in that place all the days of my life, regardless of what touches my life physically, regardless of how I'm oppressed in the natural man. I can dwell in this place that Jesus purchased with His own blood. By His stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed of the effects of sin. I'm healed of all the power of sin. He said, I behold Satan. He fell and his power was gone. And Jesus rose with victory in his wings that we can abide in a place so precious, in a place so perfect, and in all a world that is so imperfect and so full of destruction. We can dwell in a perfect place of tranquility. Bless God, under the shadow of Almighty God, we can dwell in this place. Is this your dwelling this morning? Is this your habitation? Are you dwelling in the place that God has provided and made for you? Oh, it's a blessed place. It's a wonderful place. There is rest. There is peace. There is joy. There is all those things that God has promised. If we don't have a full supply of those, then examine where you're really dwelling. Examine where you're really living. Have a hard look. Am I really where God would have me to be? Right under the shadow of His wings, under His feathers. He said He would take us under and He would keep us there and protect us from sin and evil. Oh, we might have a trouble in the flesh. He might allow us to be tried like Job to the very limit, where those old boils looked like they were going to kill your body and going to destroy you. But God said to the devil, He said, you can't take his life. A man would look at it in the flesh and they'd say, surely this man is going to die. He's got all these things wrong with him. It's just a matter of time. But let me tell you, that protection had gone out of God's mouth. And there wasn't any way that man was going to die. No way could Job have died. It was impossible for him to die. Even though he was stricken, even though his body was in such a chaotic state, that he just sat there in the old ashes and it weeped and weeped and weeped. But there's no way this man is dying. Why? Because he's in that protected place. He's in the habitation that God put him in. And he said, you can't touch him. I've got a head around him and you can't go any further. Then I'll let you go. And I'm going to tell you, there is a protection in this habitation for your soul. God has designed a perfect protection that sin cannot touch you, that it cannot defile you, so that when your time comes, that the body does die, your soul will fly away to be with Him eternally in a heaven where there is no sin. That is the dwelling place that God wants us to experience. He wants us to have that habitation of His. In the 12th chapter of Isaiah, familiar scriptures, but I want to just encourage you this morning to examine, really, where do I dwell? It's not just going to church with the saints. It's not just going with mother and daddy. It's not just going with husband or wife. But it is really abiding in this place that has been provided for whosoever will. It doesn't matter where they come from or who they are. It's been provided for them. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have been defiled by that ugly old sin. But I will praise Thee. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and now you comfort me. Now you comfort me because of the blood of Jesus, because of His sacrifice, and because I took advantage of it. Now you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. You see, there's a song goes with this place, with this habitation, with this dwelling. There's music in my soul. There's music in my experience. There is music that not only rings out of me, but it rang in heaven. The angels descended and they sang a song. They said, peace on earth. Jesus is going to be born. We bring you this music that you can have it in your soul. You can have it where you dwell, where you exist. That's the gift of God. It is through God's strength and through His power. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. Yes. Oh, we can't abide in this place by ourselves, but it is by the strength of God. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Do we have to encourage joyful people to jump and shout? When people's heart is in something like we heard about in Sunday school, they can't keep it.
Yes, so amen.
I've been to games where I got out of my seat and yelled and screamed.
Yes.
Even made a dummy out of myself, I felt like. But there was something about the moment, there was something about that time that I responded. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said that we would speak.
Yes.
We also know that Christ, when he rode into the, rode out on the donkey, and the people were rejoicing, and they said, quiet these people down. He said, if I do, the rocks will cry out.
Yes.
There's something here. There is joy in the wells of salvation. There's an amen in the joy of salvation. There's a glory to God in salvation. When we're dwelling in that place that God has provided, where all His joy, where all His peace, where all of His love is, and it's in that heart, and I'm really living there. It's going to come out. Glory to God. Bless God. Don't let the devil hold it down. Don't let the devil hold it in. But give God the glory. Therefore, with joy, you'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day, you shall say, praise the Lord. In that day, you'll say, praise the Lord. And call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention of His name and exalt Him. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of where? Of Zion. Brother Taylor spoke of Zion, didn't he? How that Zion needs to be stirred. How it needs to be stirred up. Paul said, I stir up your pure mind. The gospel is designed to stir you up. It's designed to get Zion moving. But you must first be an inhabitant of Zion. You must first have that dwelling place of dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty God. You must first be a partaker of the blessed, precious blood of Christ and have made that consecration to move in and take possession of the Canaan land and have a Canaan land experience of where that Zion is your motive. It's your desire. It's everything. It consumes you. For the great is the Holy One of Israel.
Yes.
Where? He's in the midst of thee. This is where you can dwell day in and day out. This can be your habitation. This can be your dwelling place. This is where you live. Where? In the presence of the midst of God. I don't want any more sin. I don't want that defiling stuff.
That's right.
Lord, help me. It's a battle. I know it's a battle. I fight the battle. You fight the battle. But be encouraged.
Yes.
Keep sin out of your life.
Yes.
Jesus said, don't let it touch you. Don't let it defile you. He said, love not the world or the things of the world, the things that are in the world. Don't let them enter in and begin to defile your place of habitation. Or long is going to come the angel of God and He's going to grab you. And He's going to take you out of that place and put you somewhere else. He said, it's spew you out. He said, every plant that was not planted by God would be plucked out and be plucked up. We must remain rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, drawing that living water right out of the foundation of Christ. And then we have that confidence. I'm confident that what I've committed, He's able to keep. He's able to keep me under that day. But we must have that foundation of confidence. It comes in the dwelling in the shadow of God.
Yes.
The provision that He has made. In the 8th chapter of Isaiah, in the 13th verse, He said, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself.
Oh,
Let him be your fear.
Yes.
Let him be your dread. Now this is how we get to that place that God is explaining here. That he is revealing. How do I move into that land? How do I move into that dwelling place? How do I abide in that dwelling place? Sanctify the Lord.
Yes.
Let him be your fear. Don't fear man or what man's going to say or do or what man might be able to accomplish against you. But let the Lord be your fear.
Yes.
Let him be your dread. Fear him and his commandments. And the promise is in the first line of the 14th verse. For he shall be your sanctuary. The sanctuary. That's the place where this dwelling is. There is protection in the sanctuary. We have bird sanctuaries and animal sanctuaries and those things, and the hunters can't go in there. They can't take their guns in there and shoot the birds. They're protected.
Yes. Yes.
There is protection from sin in Christ.
Amen.
There is a protection in his commandment.
Yes.
Against sin. This is the sanctuary that he has provided. God doesn't get any pleasure. It hurts the very heart of God for you to suffer because of sin. That hurts God. So he's made this provision, and he wants you to dwell there. He wants you to live there. He wants you to abide there.
Yes.
Sanctify the Lord, and he'll be your sanctuary. For those who won't accept him, he's a stumbling block.
Oh,
it's a stumbling block. It's a failure. And that's why it's so despicable and so hateful and described in so many tormentive ways. That's what's in sin. That's what's outside the habitation of God. In the 26th chapter of Isaiah, we'll read the first four verses. He said, in that day shall this song be sung. We have a strong city.
Yes.
This dwelling place is protected by great walls of salvation. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. In this dwelling place of the shadow of the Almighty, it is protected by salvation.
Yes.
That great salvation of God. That protection of the blood. The protection of the resurrection.
Yes.
The protection of the commandment. The protection of the life. The protection of life. Every one of them are vital to keeping that wall strong. Every one of them are vital in making that strength in the bulwarks that protect this habitation in this city. So when we try to bend it a little bit, when we try to weave in some of our own thinking, our own ideas, we begin to weaken those walls. What is without of the walls? The devil. He said, your adversary, he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. His desire is that you'll step outside those walls and he'll get you. You'll step outside of this city and he'll devour you. That's his motivation. He's going around and around. Come before God. Where you been? I've been going up and down all over the world looking for who I can devour. Looking who I can destroy. Outside of this city. So don't tamper with the walls. Don't tamper with salvation. Don't listen to man and his ideas, but leave those walls where God put them. Where he put them, there is perfect strength. The devil can't penetrate them. He can't shoot through them. He can't walk through them. He can't even come into this city. Praise God. The devil can't come into the city of God. Where God's Spirit dwells, where He has this dwelling place. Oh, He can tempt you here. He can tempt your man. He can make put temptations in front of you, but He cannot come in this city. Sin can never enter there. The devil is not able to penetrate the walls of salvation. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. What did He say to the people who didn't have a love for the truth? They were sent a strong delusion. They were sent something that didn't have any protection from sin. And therefore sin overtakes them and destroys them. They believe they have walls. They think they have walls. They declare they're protected. But it is a delusion. Why? Because they didn't have a love for the truth of God. They didn't have it settled in their heart that whatever God says, that's it. That settles it. I believe it. That's the way it is. I don't want to hear your interpretation. I don't want to hear your ideas. I don't want to hear your modernization against the truth. I love this truth. This is the truth of God, and it protects me. It keeps Satan out and keeps the Spirit in. And I like that separation. I don't want anything more to do with sin. I don't want anything more to do with the enemy. He hurts, he maims, and he destroys. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. This power, these walls that protect this habitation are not temporary. They're not even just for your life and my life, but they're eternal. Oh, to be able to really receive something that is eternal. You ought to have joy in your heart. You ought to be delighted. You ought to be excited. It ought to lift you up. Encourage yourself in the truths that are in God's Word. Don't be discouraged by the deceptions and the lies that are in the world this morning. But in the truth, trust in the Lord. For His strength is everlasting. Everlasting. In the 32nd chapter of this same book, 16th verse says, in judgment she'll dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful world field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance. That's why we don't want anything unrighteous coming over those walls. That's why we don't want anything unrighteous crawling in under the feathers of God. We don't want those things because righteousness remains fruitful in peace. It ministers, it grows, it provides, it gives fruits of peace. It gives quietness. It gives assurance forever. Assurance that is eternal without end. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Let that taste remain complete in your life day in and day out. That's what God wants. What disrupts that peace is when we begin to look over the wall. And we see something that looks greener. We see something that looks like it might taste pretty good. Don't go outside of those walls. Your protection is in that truth. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, in sure dwelling places. You know, I can't think of anything in this world other than what I have experienced in the Spirit that is sure. There's nothing sure. People put a lot of confidence in a lot of things because they have a history of accomplishment. And they have seen that. And so they put their faith in it. But it's not sure. The stock market crashed and everybody went into a depression. They'll have their confidence. There's nothing sure. There isn't anything sure but this dwelling place of God. But this is the only thing that is positive. Totally, 100%. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a wonderful God. What a precious God. To bestow upon us perfection. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. As He gave us the instructions of how to remain in this city. He said, be ye perfect therefore as your Father in heaven. This perfection is a gift of God.
Yeah.
It is God that girdeth me with strength. Yeah. It is God that makes my way, your way, perfect. Perfect. Why is it perfect? It's complete. It's whole. It's precious.
Yes, it is.
There isn't anything left out. There isn't any need that you have to go outside of the city of God. Everything is provided right in here.
Praise God.
33rd chapter of this same book. 17th verse. Said that our eyes shall see the King in His beauty. Usually, in a shadow, you don't see as good as you do in the sunlight. But this works exactly opposite. In the shadow of the Almighty is where there is a good vision. Where there's no vision, people are destroyed.
Yes.
People perish. People are hurt. People are maimed. But where the vision is good, and they're able to see, then they can walk around those things that might cause them a problem, might be destructive. The vision is keen in the shadow of God. Your eyes will be able to see Christ. You're able to behold the sacrifice of self-denial. You're able to understand that the bitter thing is made sweet. This only comes when you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. You tell it to the scholar? You tell it to the professor? No, bitter things aren't sweet. Sweet things are sweet. But to the eyes that are open, to the eyes that have been able to see and behold the beauty of the death of Christ, the self-sacrifice, the self-denial, dying out to my wants and my wishes, and see the beauty, the reward, the complete perfection of God worked in that very thing. In the cup of bitterness, there is beauty.
Thank the Lord.
By the divine power of God.
Amen.
By His strength. In that perfection, my eyes have seen Christ as He really is. And they behold that land that is far off. The apostle said we look through a glass, like a darkened glass, and we can't focus a real keen, perfected, vivid picture, because there isn't in our capabilities as a human to really understand the depth of the glory of heaven. But through our spiritual eyes we look and we see that land that is far off. And we behold it. And it's our anticipation. But while we're here, look upon Zion. Look upon the place where you dwell. Look upon this city. Look upon the city of the solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem. Oh, I'll never forget. I'm going to enjoy this for the rest of my life. And then I'm going to enjoy it forever.
Yes.
When God revealed to me Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Oh, it was so rich. It was so sweet. It was so precious. The very Spirit of God, the angels of heaven, connecting again with man in his humanity, like he was, and cleansing him and purifying him and moving right inside of him and setting up that tabernacle and the altar and all the things of God being revealed in his soul. Right out of heaven.
Yes.
Right out of heaven itself.
Thank the Lord.
Help us, Lord, that we look
yes.
at where we dwell.
Yes.
Are we dwelling in heavenly places? Are we dwelling spiritually in that heavenly habitation? That quiet place where confidence, complete confidence, a perfected confidence in God. A tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge.
Yes.
The Lord is our lawgiver.
Yes.
And the Lord is our king.
Amen.
And in his strength, he will save us.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, what a place of protection.
Wonderful.
What a place of protection. God help us.
Yes.
God help me that I don't look over that wall.
Jesus.
That I don't reach over that wall. That I don't try to get something that looks a little better than the life of self-denial, than the life of death. But I don't try to partake of something that is out of the judgment and the law of Christ. Now then, as we've talked about this beautiful place, I want to throw in a curveball. I want to read the 133rd Psalm. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You see, in this city, in this dwelling place, there is unity. There is unity.
Yes, there is.
No wonder the Scripture teaches us that one of the things that God has a disdain for are those that sow discord
yes.
in this city.
Yes.
That try to disrupt that peaceful habitation.
Yes.
That try to disrupt that place of rest and tranquility.
Oh.
How pleasant, how great, how beautiful it is for brethren
yes.
to dwell together.
Yes.
In unity.
Yes.
Now, what we must strive to accomplish, what we must strive to do, and what would behoove us as Zion, is that the spiritual experience that we have experienced, because in this city there is no disruption. The Word teaches us. This city is of God.
Yes.
And there isn't any discord.
Amen.
You might have discord.
Yes.
And someone else might have discord. And both of you spiritually live in this city. The job you've got to do then is to get rid of that discord
Amen.
On the outside.
Yes.
On the flesh side. The flesh side is where we always run into our trouble.
Yes.
And where we always run into problems. But our job is how pleasant and how precious,
yes.
how much better it would be if you let that spiritual unity have dominion in your physical gathering and where you are and what you're doing and what you're saying and how you behave yourself. Then it can be a great manifestation of the place where you really dwell. Where we're dwelling in unity in Zion. What did it say? For the Lord commanded the blessing. I like being able to find those places that God has commanded something to get done. Finding those places that God has commanded that this is how it's going to be right there. There are so many things that we don't know and we don't understand. And we have prayers that we pray, and some of them instantaneously are answered, and some of them go years in and years out, and we don't understand why they're not answered. But we do understand that when God commands something, it happens. And He commands a blessing, even life, evermore, in this place of unity. So Lord, help me then, that I strive for the unity of the brethren.
Yes.
I just thought I'd throw that little curveball in this sermon because it's such a blessed place, this dwelling place. It's so precious. It lifts our soul and lifts our heart. Have the instruction, definite instruction, of how to remain under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, people have different interpretations. They have different ideas and different thoughts sometimes. But we can turn to the Word of God.
Amen.
And we can turn to this 58th chapter of Isaiah and declare boldly that this is what God has said. In the 6th verse of this chapter, He says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye may break every yoke." This is the fast of God.
Yes.
That we would endeavor, that we would follow, that we would keep.
Yes.
In every commandment of Christ, in the instructions that He gave, will measure right in to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. They fit together. Just like a hand in a glove, just like a puzzle. Everything that God has done, there isn't any loose ends. It all fits. It's complete. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Then shall the light break forth as the morning. Then shall you abide in Mount Zion. Then shall you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And your health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Oh, what a great blessing to have the glory of the Lord as your reward.
Yes.
Jesus was the one that should receive the glory. Jesus paid the price.
Yes.
I couldn't pay my price. You couldn't pay your price. But He shares the glory of His accomplishments is your reward. What more could God give you? It isn't yours. It's His and the Son's, but He's going to give it to you if you'll keep His fast. And in that glory, there is tranquility, there is peace, there is rest. There is this habitation of joy. And you can dwell there if you'll keep His fast. This is the instruction. This is the way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm all of these things." And you'll call, I'll answer you. When you cry, He'll say, "Here am I." If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity.
Yes.
What is the pointing of the finger? Do we really totally understand the pointing of the finger? I sometimes think of it like this. The first time you cross somebody, immediately they're going to point out one of your faults. You try to correct them, and their natural reaction is to respond in a way that their indignation rises, and sometimes they might even get red in the face, and if they're not saved, they might use all kinds of language or whatever, but immediately they point the finger back at you and remind you that if you're pointing at them, you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. But if you take away from you that defense, take away from you that pointing out of what's wrong with everyone else, and draw your soul out to them. Draw your soul, the very substance of your being, the depths of your heart. What was it that kept Jesus on the cross? We sing the song, it wasn't the nail. It was that love in His heart. It was the depths of His soul that He was able to say, not my will, Father, but Yours be done. It was His soul that He was dealing out. His soul He was giving. And that's what's called for in the fast of God. And as you give your soul for your brother, for your sister, for the world, for the sinner, as you give that out, oh, then God says He'll satisfy your afflicted soul. Then your light's going to rise and your night will be as noonday. What a blessed place to dwell. And the Lord shall guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul and draw. He'll make fat your bones. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now we're running out of time, but the rest of this message goes this way. On down in this Isaiah, it tells us of this whole highway of holiness that we're walking on. This highway of holiness where, I'm just going to read that right quick. 35th chapter. We won't keep it too much longer. Is the chicken burning yet? We've got a couple more scriptures that's on my heart with this thought, and we'll be done. But this is an important conclusion to this little sermon, and I wanna get it done. It says there's a highway there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. And the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall be upon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs, everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and signs shall flee away. On this road that we're walking in Zion, that is protected in this city, that is under the shadow of the Almighty, it is onward and upward, soldier. It is onward and upward, and it has an end. It has a place that we're going. God has provided this protection around me to remain upon this highway. There isn't anything that can harm me. There isn't any lions. There isn't any fools. Fools won't enter in. Only the wise man that built his house upon the rock is there beside me. The wise man is on this highway. He's there with me, but there isn't any fools. They're outside the wall. They're building on the sand. They're trusting in themselves. They haven't taken the advantage of the provision that is made in the power of Christ. The redeemed walk on this road, and they walk on this highway. And sometimes, as old Pilgrim said, it's a struggle. But listen to this in the 22nd chapter of Revelations, 12th verse, he said, "And behold, I come quickly," speaking of Christ, "and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be, according to what he's done, if he's kept himself on this highway, if he's kept himself in this city, if he's endeavored to keep the unity that is in this city. You know, in this city there are all kinds of people.
Yes.
There's white people, there's black people, there's yellow people, there's red people.
That's so.
There's people with different dispositions.
Yes.
There's people with different backgrounds.
True.
There's people with different inheritance. There is, you talk about a melting pot right here in the city of God.
Yes.
Then how do they exist? How can they coexist? What was the little verse the little girl said? The greatest of these is charity. It is charity within that city that enables those people to all get along and remain peaceful and quiet. It is love, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, that enables us to live in Zion at peace and quietness. Let it be projected then on the outward side in all those things. And then we have this confidence that I've worked and I've labored to that end. And when Jesus comes, He's going to bring me my reward.
Oh,
the Apostle Paul said, henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. A big old crown. It's laid up there for me of the righteousness that I have inherited from Christ. And He's going to give me. He's coming quickly to give every man according to his works. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning, the end, and the last. There's nothing left out. It's complete and whole. And blessed are they that do His commandments, because they have rights to the tree of life. And they may enter in through the gates into that city.
Yes, yes.
They might, at the end of this highway, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Verse after verse, commandment after commandment. Your pastor, I have confidence in him. I know he lays those commandments on you and gives you the word of Christ. Heed to that. Keep it. Keep yourself on that highway, because someday it's going to end. And when it ends, it comes to the gates of that city. Let God go forever be with those that have been there. Many, many, many generations. All you talk about, the sweetness of this habitation. Let's just look for a minute at old the rich man that died and he went to hell and he was tormented in his torments and the old devil's just on him constantly. No rest here, no habitation of peace. But he looked away and what did he see? He saw that poor old beggar. What was happening to that beggar? He was being comforted.
Yes.
He was being God. Abraham had his arms around him and was hugging him and just letting him lay right there. It was peaceful. It was quiet. That's what's at the end of this road. It's worth every sacrifice that you must make. It's worth every weight that you must lay aside. It's worth everything that God calls you to, because it has one end and one end only, and that's the pearly gates of heaven. That we might enter in. We have a right to enter in through the heritage of Christ. Not my righteousness. My perfection is of God and God alone. He maketh my way perfect and He maketh me perfect, that I can have this confidence that at the end of my journey, if I remain in the city of God, I'll walk on in to that other city, yes God, and there dwell forever in the presence of God Almighty. Lord, encourage you this morning. If there's anything in your life that hinders your rest or your peace, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Don't take it with you. Get rid of it now.
Yeah.
Dwell in this peaceful place that you can have that confidence of that peace in that day. Pray for me.